Good evening. That was for Abby. Well, let's pray. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Lord, you're so good. You're so good to us. Lord, just bless this time together. Bless your word. Thank you, Lord, for being here. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Pastor Jim, he told me I could talk about whatever I want. So I just obviously I prayed about it and see what the Lord wanted me to pray about or talk about. And I think it's prayer. You want me to bring prayer before you guys today. So if you guys could please open up to Luke, book of Luke chapter 3, verse 21. We'll begin there. We're going to be moving around a lot today. So hopefully everybody has a Bible. Luke chapter 3, 21. Baptism of Jesus. Now when all the people were baptized, it came that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. So when Jesus was being baptized, he was actually praying at the same time. And when he was praying, heaven opened up. And I just think that's an amazing thing. When we pray, heaven can open up with blessings upon us. And I'm not saying we should just pray for blessings, but I think he just sets a good example here right away. Praying, and then heaven can open before us. Let's go to Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Going through Jesus praying through the Bible here for a little bit. Chapter 6. Verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God, God the Father. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. So the first thing he does, he seems to get alone, and he prayed all night in prayer. He desires that intimacy with the Father. I just wish that sometimes we would have that same desire for intimacy with the Father. Praying all night to the Lord in prayer. How often do we do that? Not often enough, or at all. But again, he's praying before he has a big decision to make. We should even pray before our small decisions, I think. But again, a great example of what we should be doing, praying. Let's please go to Luke 11, chapter 11. Verse 1. Again, Jesus is leading by example here. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place that he ceased. He stopped praying. One of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And I think it was cool. He didn't say, hey, look at me. Let's start praying. He was praying. They saw him praying, and they wanted to follow his example. And then I think, as a father, as husbands, as his moms and grandparents, as our kids and our grandkids, wives or husbands or whatever, they see us praying. I pray that that would get them desire to pray as well. And I think you see that in your kids' lives. You know, my kids, do their prayers, and they're beautiful, Judah and Belly, and it's a beautiful thing. But yeah, let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, please. Actually, chapter 6, verse 5. Let's go to verse 5 first, please. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So I think it's an important thing. I like the prayer closet idea. I'm not sure if you guys seen the War Room movie. I think it was a great movie. I think everyone should see it. It doesn't have to be a closet. I think my prayer room or war room is a lot of times my car. You know, I'm driving, and it's just me and the Lord. You know, there's no one else there. I'm going to work. You know, I spend that time with the Lord, and you just pray, you know, throughout the time. And, Lord, you know, keep me safe and, you know, keep these truck drivers away from me, you know, but, you know, just praying for the things of the day, praying for my family and everything like that. And, but yeah, I think it's important. It's, for me, I get distracted very easily, incredibly easily. I probably have ADD. I get distracted very easily. So if Abby has like the TV on or if the kids are in the room or something, it's hard for me to concentrate on like anything, reading or praying, or it's just pretty much impossible for me. So I need to get away. So I encourage you guys, if you know, turn the TV off or radio off or whatever it is, to eliminate all the distractions if you can, just to get that quiet time with the Lord. And I encourage you to, in the mornings, that's a good time. Anytime's a good time to pray. Anytime. It's the easiest thing we can do, but it's the hardest thing for us too, because we just seem to just not do it enough. And we always find excuses maybe not to sometimes. I hope and pray that Pastor Jim isn't the first person we look to or for anything. I pray that we're praying first. You know, we're seeking him out first, the Lord. We're not going to the medicine cabinet first. I pray we're praying first, you know. I mean, he's the one that can really heal. Verse 7. But when we pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But know ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. The vain repetition idea, I kind of think of, I think of Judah and Belly sometimes, like when we're praying before food. I used to do this as a kid too. God is good, God is great, thank you for this food, amen. Just try to pray as fast as possible so you can eat as fast as possible. And that's kind of how my kids are. They go, thank you for this food, amen, or Jesus pray, amen, or whatever they do, Abby, what is it? And they just kind of do that fast thing just so they get the food quick, you know. And I, you know, we can be guilty of that too if we're just like doing a mantra, or you know, some people just do the Our Father or whatever. You know, it's a beautiful prayer, and we're going to get into it a little bit here. But if we're just, if your heart's not in it, what is it worth? You know. And verse 8 again: Be not ye therefore likened unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. He already knows what we need. But he just wants us to be involved, which blows my mind. He wants us to be involved in this stuff. He wants to use this at all. It just blows me away. But he wants us to ask. He's a perfect father, and he wants us to ask. And he just wants to give. He just wants to bless. That's just him. He just loves. Let's go to, please, maybe keep a finger here or something, but let's go to Romans 8, please. What was it? Romans 8. 8:26. Sorry about that. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth What is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I love that the Spirit's just searching, you know, really what you want to say. I mean, you could just say, Lord, you know, and he knows what you mean. And he knows he's going to send that to, you know, the Father. You know, it's just amazing. You don't have to say an eloquent prayer. You don't need to say thine or thou's or whatever. You know, it doesn't have to be a lengthy prayer. It can be almost like, it can be a grunt. It can be a groan. The Lord hears those. You know, I think that's pretty awesome. And he searches hearts. He's always searching our hearts, according to the will of God. Psalm 139, please. Psalm 139, verse 23. I think this is a very important prayer for everybody. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I think that's an important prayer. Search me, Lord. Know what's going on in me. You know, I know I'm wicked. You know. Show me. What do I need to get rid of in my life? What relationships do I need to end in my life? Friendships, whatever, business relationships, habit. What do I need to get rid of, Lord? How can I get closer to you? Isaiah 59, please. 59:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Sin will, it'll keep you away from the Lord. It'll separate you from him. I'm not saying he's not going to hear your prayers, but why should he honor him? Why should he honor him? He'll hear your prayer of confession, but you need to get right with the Lord. Matthew 6. Let's go back to Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. We're getting the Lord's Prayer again. Jesus is showing us an example. Prayer I think we've heard or said many, many times in our lives. Chapter 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So it begins with worship right away. Holy is your name, Lord. How great is your name, Lord. You are so huge. I mean, you're so amazing, you know. We're just in awe of him. Begins with worship. I think it's a good way to begin. Just, you know, when you talk to anybody, you kind of say, hi, hello, you don't ask them for something. You know, you should be, you know, I think that's just how anybody should be. It's manners in a way. But, you know, and some people, I just don't think they respect prayer like they should. And if some people say, hey, Jesus, you know, or hey, Jesus, what's up, buddy, or whatever. I mean, this is the God of the universe. Let's have respect for him. He's the King of the universe. Let's have respect. You know, even though he loves us and he has that love and intimate relationship with us, I think we need to have reverence for who he is and what he's done for us. Verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray all the time his kingdom come. I pray that it come now. It will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I think that's another important thing that we need to do. Pray that his will be done, not ours. And obviously we know the fall of Lucifer and when he wanted his will to happen. And he put that above God's will and where that's going to end how his story ends. We already know. But his will must be first. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. The Lord's concerned about our needs. I think he's even concerned about our wants. But he gives us our needs for sure. And it's important that we ask for them too. Because he says it in his word. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Amen. In verse 12, he asks us to forgive us. We ask him to forgive us. That's a very important thing. And he wants us to forgive others as well. He's going to get in that a little bit. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Lord doesn't tempt anybody. I think you guys know that. But in my own life, I've been in some situations that the Lord delivered me from. Dangerous situations. Dangerous relationships with women or friends. The Lord's kept me. He's delivered me. He's been very faithful. And he will always be. For thine is the kingdom and power and glory forever and ever. Amen. And it ends in praise. It ends in worship. It's a model for prayer. You don't have to do exactly like this or say these exact words. Not at all. He's not expecting that. This is just a model. And it's a very good model because it comes from him. It's just a model. Verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's almost like it's conditional to a degree, because the Lord wants us to forgive others. He doesn't want us to hold on to bitterness in our hearts. It's dangerous. It's a killer. It is. I'll tell you a quick story. My former boss of mine, he said something outrageous to me. This is before me and Abby were married. She knows the story. It was disrespectful against her. And I was so angry, I just could only stare and walk away, because I was afraid of what I was going to do. So I had a lot of bitterness and anger towards that man. But I had to see him every day because I worked there. Prayed what to do. Take him to HR. What to do. So I prayed. Lord, I hate this guy. I don't want to pray for him. Lord said, pray for him. You pray for him. I obeyed. Took me a while, but I obeyed. And I started to love this man. It doesn't make sense. But I still love him. He's not saved. Pray for him. But praying for somebody. It's hard to hate somebody when you're praying for him. It really is. I think it's impossible. If you're really praying for him truthfully. And the Lord knows. Let's please go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I encourage, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men. Supplications is asking us the needs, and prayers are, prayers in general. Prayers is just speaking to the Lord. Intercessions, that's an important prayer. You guys know, praying for others, and we're going to kind of get into that right here. And the giving of thanks, we should always be giving thanks, be made for all men. Verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, we should be praying for these guys, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in the godliness and honesty. People in authority, my boss, my former boss, the president, the governors, these guys need prayer, big time. Big time. Verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth. He wants everybody to be saved, and we should be praying for all these people is what he's saying. We should be praying for everybody. Are we praying for everybody? I don't know. I know I don't. I should. I should be praying more. I love this. Verse 5, I think you all do too. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. John, let's go to John 14:6, please. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's the truth. There's only one way. One way. It's through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 7:25, please. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus even now is praying for us. He's interceding for us on our behalf. I think that's pretty amazing. Jesus Christ is interceding for us all the time. He's never going to die, so it's forever. It's pretty awesome. I like that. I like it a lot. Let's please go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. I think you guys all know this one. Hopefully you will today if you don't now, before. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. That means pray without ceasing. That's what that means. You know, we need to continue to pray all the time. Pray when you wake up. Pray when you go to bed. Pray in the car. Pray in the shower. Pray, pray, pray. Why not? Why not? Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Let's go to chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Let's turn back a page or so. Verse 13. I like this too. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. That's the address. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. We should be always be thanking him without ceasing too. I think we should always be praising him and thanking him without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which is effectually worketh also in you that believeth. John 15:7, please. John 15:7. Again, this is Jesus speaking here. You know, the vine and the branches. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. It's a conditional promise. If you have a relationship with Jesus, and you're following his word, and you're in his will, it's going to be done for you. Because you're praying in his will. But you need to be abiding in him. You need to be in the word, his word. And you need to be praying for his will, not yours. Let's go to James. James chapter 5, please. Let's start with verse 13, please. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is he merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I remember, I think maybe some of you guys remember, but, you know, if we just do what he says, just the bare basics, we just do what he says, I mean, we're going to get blessed. I remember this guy had cancer, and someone suggested, hey, why don't we anoint him with oil? Pastor Jim's like, okay. You know, him with oil, and we prayed over him, and the guy got healed of cancer. Nothing, Pastor Jim. He's just obeying the word. Pastor Jim doesn't have any superpowers. It's the Lord that healed. I think we should pray when we're afflicted. It says when we're happy. You know, one thing I think we're guilty of, I think we're guilty of praying more when we are afflicted. I know I am. We should be praying all the time when things are good. We should be praying that with that fervent prayer, as we're going to get to right now. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, profits much, or benefits much. Confess your faults to another, and I know, you know, people have some hang-ups about that to a degree, and for good reason. But I don't think there's anything wrong with being with a brother or sister in the Lord and saying, hey, I need prayer on this. This is affecting my life. I need help. Pray for me. I think that's powerful, and I think the Lord honors that. I really do. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Verse 17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was just like we were. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And I just hope and, you know, pray that we have a desire to pray like that, earnestly, with tears, with all of our hearts, you know. Spend that time with the Lord, that quiet time, so important, so important. You know, that's something I'm guilty of not doing, you know, not to the degree that I really should be, not at all. Please, let's go to Matthew 18, please. Matthew 18, 17. Let's go to 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I like that. It's an amazing promise. Jesus promises to be with us when we pray. He promises. But he wants us to congregate together. He wants us to gather together and pray as well. He desires it. But he promises to be there with us when we do it. You know, I hope everyone has a prayer partner. If don't get one, please. You know, if it's your wife or your husband or your best friend or your sister or your brother, or whoever it is, cousin, friend, somebody at work, you need a prayer partner. Let's please go to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. chapter 10, verse 3. We're going to talk about warfare now. If you're a Christian, you're in war. You're in a war. If you don't know it, you're going to find out soon. But it's a good thing. So you need to know your stuff. You need to know your sword. You got to know how to use it. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh and we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds. I heard a teaching by Pastor Ray Tompkins. Great teacher. The Lord enables him. And he put it in a way, prayer in a way, warfare-wise. He's a military guy. Maybe some of you guys know he's a Marine. And he talks about prayer as like artillery, which I thought was pretty awesome. He says this, it's, you know, because the Word of God is almost like it's a sword. It's a close-range weapon, if you will. Used for defense or for offense, the Word of God. Put your artillery. I mean, we can do a prayer to somebody, missionaries in Africa, and we can disperse the enemy right there. You know, protect those missionaries, Lord. I mean, that's a long-range prayer, and the enemy can't stop it. Who's going to stop that? The enemy can't stop it. He can't stop prayer. It's pretty awesome. And they can't stop this artillery going all over the world. I mean, you could reach spots that you're never going to see in your life, not in this lifetime. But your prayers can hit those spots. You know, so I thought it was pretty good. I wanted to share that with you. Another thing artillery does, it brings down strongholds. The pulling down of strongholds, you know, sometimes that's just someone's heart. I know some people have been praying for years for people to get saved. And so am I. I'm still praying for people to get saved. But keep praying to pull down those strongholds. I think it's a good thing we have those burdens for people. And I hope and pray that you guys pray to have those burdens. Because I feel those burdens, maybe for that special person, whoever, I think the Lord is going to honor that prayer. I think he's putting that burden in your hearts for that person to get saved. That he'll do it. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I think that's a wonderful thing, too, to pray for the Lord to keep my mind clean. I think Pastor Jim touched on this like several times, but, you know, I'll just be with my wife, or I'll be reading or be in worship, and just like a thought, where did that thought come from? Warfare. Pray against it. Lord, take that away. Remember this verse. Lord, I don't want that in my heart. I don't want that in my mind. Get it out of there. Ephesians 6, please. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Is there wickedness in high places? We need to pray against it. We need to pray for strength. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. It's accessible to us. We should just take it, put it on, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. How important it is to have truth in your life, truth of Jesus Christ. And having on the breastplate of righteousness of Jesus Christ, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And shield of faith is very, very, very important. Enemy's always on, he's always on the attack. Whether you know it or not, he's always on the attack. I mean, he's, you know, he's been around for, what, 6,000 years or so? He's not going anywhere anytime soon until the Lord says so. Lord, today. But he's always on the attack. He's always watching you. He's watching it, you know. I'm not saying maybe him per se, but one of his underlings, yeah, you know, they know who the Christians are. So it's important we have our armor on. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Protect your mind, knowing that you're saved. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hey, this thing needs to be, you guys need to use this thing. If you're not using it, you got a dull sword. It's worthless. You need to use this thing, this Bible, the word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit pray. And watch, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we need to be praying for the needs of our brothers and sisters. We need to be praying for the needs what the Spirit wants us to be praying for. We need to be communion with the Lord God in prayer. But if we're not doing that, we're not going to know what he needs. We're not going to know what we should be doing. So we need to be in prayer. It's very important for warfare. Jeremiah 33:3, please. Jeremiah 33:3. This is a pretty awesome verse. They're all awesome. Because God wrote it. 33:3. Call unto me. I feel like this is just like another challenge the Lord is giving. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Feels like it's a challenge again. Call on me and I'm going to answer you and I'm going to show you things that you never can even think of. I feel that he's saying that. I mean, how many times you guys have prayed and the Lord has answered abundantly beyond what you could possibly imagine? I mean, just a relationship with him, that's beyond what I can imagine still. I mean, it's still a mighty thing I still don't know, but I think that's an important thing. You know, he's challenging us here, I think. Ephesians 3:20, please. Ephesians 3:20. Verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above, exceedingly abundantly above, that's way more, all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. He's just be able to do above what we can fathom. And it's true. I mean, he's God. I mean, he created the infinite universe as far as we can tell. He's so much bigger, and we're just specks, and he's so big. I think it's awesome that he's so big. We're getting close to the end now. Matthew 26. Matthew 26, please. Verse 40. So Jesus is in the garden here. He's praying fervently. He knows what's about to happen. He knows he's about to die. He knows he's about to be beaten beyond the recognition of a human being. He knows that he's going to carry the burden of all sin for all time. He knows everyone's going to abandon him very soon. So he's in prayer. He wants to be with the Father. He wants to commune with the Father. He knows he needs to be. And even here, he's not praying for his will be done, but the Father's will be done. He's in such anguish that he's bleeding. He sweats, or like drops of blood. His capillaries are being broken, and he's bleeding out. He's under such pressure, such stress that no one ever has been before and ever will be. So he's praying. Verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, saith unto Peter, and this is what hits me, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Justin, couldn't you just pray 1 hour? Don't you want to spend time with me for 1 hour? What's so important that you can't get away for 1 hour to be with me? Do you love me? How much do you love me? What's more important? That thing? That person? Or me? Verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Flesh is weak. And that's so true. Prayer is a weapon against temptation. It's that artillery against, you know, whatever, that relationship, that person or whatever. We need to be praying. A brother in the Lord I know told me he was going to prayer meetings, not here, somewhere else. And then it started just getting smaller and smaller, those prayer meetings. And then to one point it was just him and the pastor coming to the prayer meetings. And then at one point, the pastor was not showing up to the prayer meetings. And he said, this church is dead. I pray that doesn't happen here. I pray we're praying at home. We're praying with our loved ones. I pray that we're praying here. Pray, pray, pray. I mean, this is it's a battle. It is a war. And sometimes I don't think we're, me, myself, I'm not taking this seriously enough. The Lord is so good. He is so good. Well, let's pray again and we'll close, please. Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to pray to you, Lord. Such an honor, Lord, we get to speak to the King of the universe. Lord, you're willing to sacrifice everything for us. Lord, you love so much. You are love. Thank you, Lord, for loving us beyond our understanding. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd stir your people to pray. Pray, Lord, we would pray for revival, Lord, in our own hearts, Lord. I pray, Lord, we'd be seeking you and desiring you above all things, Lord. I pray we're focusing on you, Lord, please. Lord, I pray, Lord, you bless our time together, communion after this, and our fellowship. Lord, I pray, Lord, do you please bring everyone home safely. Lord, I pray that, Lord, I pray, Lord, you save those ones that are in our hearts right now, Lord, that we pray, Lord, that they do get saved. Please, if there's anyone here, Lord, I pray, Lord, they'd surrender to you right now. Open their eyes, Lord, how much you love them, how much you've done already. Please save, Lord. We thank you, Father. We love you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.